ओम शांति। In this Brahmin world, we have a wonderful code word which only we Brahmins understand, and that word is Bap Dada, which is a combination of Hindi and Sindhi words. These two languages, Urdu also, we can add. The word Bap is an Urdu word, which means father. And Dada is a Hindi word, which means grandfather. But in Sindhi language, Dada means elder brother. Like Didi in Hindi means elder sister. But in Sindhi language, elder sister means Dadi. And in Hindi language, Dadi means grandmother. So the word Dadi means grandmother in Hindi, and in Sindhi it means elder sister. Similarly, the word Dada, in Hindi it means grandfather, and in Sindhi it means elder brother. So there is a pun on these words, and that's our code word. So when we say Bap Dada, we give it two meanings. Bap means father, and Dada means elder brother or grandfather. So when we say father and grandfather, it means Brahma Baba is our father, Bap, and Shiv Baba is our grandfather, Dada. Because Shiv Baba says that Brahma is my child, and you are his children, and therefore you become my grandchildren. And on the other hand, spiritually, if we say Bap means father, so Shiv Baba is the father of souls, and Brahma Baba also is a soul, and therefore he is like our brother, elder brother, because he's a soul and we are all brothers. Supreme Soul is only one, and that is just one Shiv Baba. And then you can give it another meaning. Dada means like great, great, great grandfather, you know. Ancestor in Hindi language, even ancestor is called Dada, forefather. So Brahma Baba is our great, 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 you know, as many, you can put 84 times great, you know, 84 times, because the first father and the last father, Sangam, at the confluence age, we get Brahma Baba as a beginning of the cycle to the confluence age. So the first father as well as the end of the cycle, and therefore the last father, so the 84th father. So you can say like 83 times at least, grand, grand, grand father, and so on. And Shiv Baba is direct father of souls. So it's a beautiful code word of the Brahmins. And we use this word so often. Shiv Baba coming in the body of Brahma Baba, we named it as Bap Dada. And now Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba coming together in the body of Gulzar Dadi, we call it Avyakt Bap Dada. It's Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba in his angelic form, descending in the corporeal form of Gulzar Dadi. But of course, Gulzar Dadi is only an instrument. She surrenders her body to Bap Dada, and they do the work through her mouth. They speak to the children, meet the children, give drishti to the children, toli to the children, and Gulzar Dadi has no involvement in that. So it's wonderful to experience this at the confluence age. And in the Sakar and Avyakt Murlis, Baba has always been saying, see Father and follow Father. That's the topic for me today. When we say see Father means see Shiv Baba. We have to remember Shiv Baba. When you remember means you are seeing the Father. You are visualizing the Father. You are remembering the Father. You are taking inspirations from the Father. So we have to remember Shiv Baba. And Brahma Baba says, don't remember me. If you remember me, your sins will not be absolved. Only if you remember Shiv Baba, your sins will be absolved. I'm also making efforts. And for that, I too am remembering Shiv Baba to finish my sins. So you too remember Shiv Baba. This one is only a medium. I too make efforts to remember Shiv Baba. So we see that for Brahma Baba there was no one to follow. Whom did Brahma Baba see and follow? No one. But he became number one student. Whatever Shiv Baba said, he practiced it instantly, immediately. And he was number one student. He never missed the murli. Did Brahma Baba ever miss the murli? How could he? Because Shiv Baba spoke through his mouth. And Brahma Baba's ears were the nearest, you know. And therefore he was number one student all the time. He took it deeply, instantly, whatever Shiv Baba spoke through his mouth and practiced it at that very moment. He never gave excuses to anyone. Oh, Shiv Baba says it, but I can't. No. Because whatever Shiv Baba would say through the mouth of Brahma Baba, Brahma Baba felt it immediately that this is for me. And he practiced it. So Brahma Baba didn't have anyone else to see and follow, you know, to take inspiration from. Whatever Shiv Baba spoke through his mouth, it touched Brahma Baba's soul and he practiced it immediately. But we had Brahma Baba to follow. We saw how Brahma Baba accepted all the directions of Shiv Baba, all the teachings of Shiv Baba he put in his practical life. And now you may say that, yes, we have the dadis in front of us, from whom we take the inspirations and we follow. And the dadis tell us how they followed Brahma Baba. So see Shiv Baba and follow Brahma Baba. But of course, you cannot meet Shiv Baba without care of Brahma Baba. So very many children, when they understand the knowledge very well, they say, I have direct connection with Shiv Baba, because Baba says, remember me, don't remember Brahma Baba. And therefore I have direct connection with Brahma Baba, with Shiv Baba. I have nothing to do with Brahma Baba. But they cannot remember Shiv Baba without having anything, you know, without having the connection with Brahma Baba. Because whatever Shiv Baba says, he says it through Brahma Baba. And even now, he says it through Brahma Baba. So Brahma Baba is always there, the medium. even now. Gulzar Dadi, the medium, is just namesake because we need in a corporeal form a physical body. As we are in the physical body, so Baba has to adopt a physical body in order to meet us. Otherwise, how would he meet us? We give a very interesting example, like a child is very small, maybe he's just a few feet, you know, 2-3 feet. And the father is quite tall, 6 feet tall. So the child is not even half the size of the father. And the child wants to reach the father. Well, how will he reach? He can't. Even if he stretches his arms, you know, high, but he can't reach the father. The father is much taller than him. So in order to make the child equal to the father, what does the father have to do? Yes? He has to bend down. He has to bend down, take his hands down, and then pick up the child. And sometimes, in order to just inspire the child, he makes him sit on his shoulders, he makes him sit on his head, and he tells his child, "See, child, you're taller than me. See?" And the child is so happy sitting on the father's shoulders or sitting on the father's head and saying, "Yes, I'm taller than my father." So this is the father playing game with the child, just to make the child happy. Similarly, sometimes, you know, Baba would tell that you children are greater than me. Even Shiv Baba would say, "How could I establish the golden age without you children? If you children had not been there, it would not have been possible to establish the golden age. So it's because of you that the golden age I'm able to establish." But then we say, "Baba, how can we do anything without you?" The same thing would go with Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. Shiv Baba would tell Brahma Baba, "I need your chariot to establish the golden age. And therefore, you are great." And Brahma Baba would say, "No, Shiv Baba, without you I am nothing." So it's a lovely chit-chat. The father keeps the child in the front and the child keeps the father in the front. And we saw this when Baba became Avyakt. Bap Dada came in the body of Gulzar Dadi, and the first murli Bap Dada spoke was, Baba said, "Now Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba will become incognito and the Shaktis will come in the front." When Shiv Baba was in the body of Brahma Baba, Shiv Baba would keep Brahma Baba in the front and Brahma Baba would keep Shiv Baba in the front. But when Brahma Baba became Avyakt, became equal to the father, became perfect, complete, then both of them put the Shaktis in the front. And Baba said that the Shaktis will reveal Shiva and Brahma. And Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba will reveal the Shaktis. So the Shaktis came in between. So the Shaktis revealing the fathers, both the fathers, and both the fathers as incognito, being incognito like a backbone, revealing the Shaktis, putting the Shaktis in the front. It's like without a backbone, the body can't stand, you know. It will just turn into a ball. You know, it will be just other bones, but no backbone. The spinal cord, if that wouldn't be there, the skeleton of this body wouldn't stand. So Bap Dada is like the backbone, giving a push to the Shaktis in the front and the Shaktis revealing the fathers. So it's a beautiful way of understanding Bap Dada. I remember once when Dadiji was quite in her form, there was a press conference which she was addressing, and the press reporters asked her a question. An old lady of 80 years, They asked her, how are you running this whole administration of so many centers, 8,000 centers in 190, at least 90 countries at that time? How are you able to run such a big administration? And the very lovely answer she gave us, I don't do anything, it's Shiv Baba. And she pointed out to Brahma Baba, it's this one and that one. They are doing everything. I am only an instrument. But they were not satisfied with this answer. They said, okay, it's good. That's your very pure feeling and your faith, and that's fine. But tell us a practical method of how you're running the administration. And then there were some seniors sitting with Dadiji. Nirebhai and other dadis and all were sitting. So she said, they assist and we all work together. We have a committee and then we have zones, we have sub-zones and then we have centers and we have sub-centers, you know. It's all decentralized too. It's not just a hierarchy in that way. There's decentralization as well. And she explained so beautifully that how this whole organization is run. We have different regions and, you know, just like foreign lands also different regions. India also so many different zones and sub-zones. So, and then they were really amazed that how such a big institution is being run. And then she said, it's true that though we have this frame of administration, but all of us consider ourselves to be only instruments in the hands of the Supreme. And Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba are running the show. You will notice that when there's a committee and all have to decide, it's not just one person deciding, then sometimes it becomes quite complicated, quite difficult to give the right decision because, you know, there may be so many opinions. And then maybe they vote, okay, majority wins. You know, that's how things run in an administration, in a government. But then, here it's little bit different that even if there is majority and there's minority, but then Baba will say, okay, first you all put forward this point in the committee and then come to one decision. Maybe there will be majority and minority also, but then ultimate decision will be given by Shiv Baba. Ultimate decision. Or when Baba was in Sakar, Baba would tell them, okay, discuss in the meeting. And whatever is discussed, you come to Baba and Baba will give the final decision. So the same thing is now. Not that it's different. So ultimately that thing is mentioned to Gulzar Dadi and Gulzar Dadi goes into trance, tells Baba, and then Baba sends the message that this is how it should be. But first, Bab Dada keep the children in the front. You all discuss. Bab Dada doesn't say straight away, yes, this is how it should be. You all discuss. And whatever comes in the discussion, give that information to Baba. And then Baba will give the final decision. So it's so beautiful. And then Baba gives that decision and then who's responsible? Baba is responsible. We just carry out the instructions. But still, Baba doesn't give the final decision straight away without taking the suggestions or advice from the children. It's not like that. So, Baba keeps the children in the front first, and then the children keep Baba in front. And whatever Baba says, yes, there are no questions. How could Baba give such a decision? How could Baba say this? How could Baba say that? No. Final. Baba is responsible then. So this is how we see this wonderful organization being run. But then the children are taught here how to see the father and follow the father. What did Brahma Baba do? Shiv Baba said, children, to Brahma Baba, Shiv Baba said, child, now surrender yourself. Whatever property you have, surrender yourself and make a will on the name of sisters. Put the sisters in the front. So right at the beginning, whatever property Baba had, Brahma Baba had, he made a will and surrendered that to the sisters. Mama was the leader. And she became the first administrative head of the yajna. Mother, yes, but the first administrative head. Baba never called himself the administrative head. Of course, Brahma Baba was the medium. But Shiv Baba told him, keep the sisters in the front. The brothers in this organization will be like the guards, guarding the sisters, and the sisters will be the guides. So right from the beginning, this method has been adopted. And we see that how beautifully Baba's work is going on. I remember, you know, once there was a conference for sadhus, sannyasis, religious conference, and many Hindu, you know, these priests and sadhus and sannyasis, and they came. So they were wonderstruck, you know, seeing the organization. And they said, we know how this organization is running so well because your Brahma Baba did a very wise thing of putting the sisters in the front. Had the brothers been in the front, it would not have really spread this way. Because men, usually the ego works and they and many clashes come. But in this organization, it can never happen like that, you know. For there are three reasons why organizations fail. You know, even religious organizations, spiritual organizations, ultimately they bifurcate, and then they divide, and then, you know, they take their own roads, and then the strength is lost. So why it's not happening here? For three reasons. One reason is because the sisters are in the front. That is a very important reason. And therefore we say this is the largest spiritual organization run by sisters. Largest in the world. And secondly, usually the dispute, when someone comes to the top and maybe there are two people at the top, the disputes are for a few reasons. One reason is, I am bigger, I am greater, I am more clever, I am this, I am the ego clash comes. Here ego clash can never come because it's Shiv Baba who appoints. Even when Brahma Baba became Avyakt and Bhaktada came in the body of Gulzar Dadi, then at that time Baba put Dadi and Didi in the front, in the Avyakt form they came. And brought Dadi ji and Didi ji, Didi Manamohini, who left her body in 1983, put them in the front as the administrative heads. And then when Didi left her body, then Bap Dada brought Janki Dadi and Chandramani Dadi in the front, along with Dadi ji. So three Dadis became administrative heads. And then when Chandramani Dadi left the body, and then of course Bap Dada would come in the body and of Gulzar Dadi and say, this child, means Gulzar Dadi, child, will be with you too. So the joint administrative heads and additional administrative head and Dadi ji as the administrative head. So they came together. So it wasn't that they appointed themselves, but Bap Dada appointed them directly. And also why, the second reason why there are disputes or there are bifurcations or divisions, it's because of money problem. Money, wealth. Here, no one owns any personal money. No one. It's all in the name of trust or foundation. Though of course there's a managing trustee and trustees and committee members. That's fine. But then it's not on individual names. And therefore there cannot be misuse of money here. No misuse. And we have this knowledge that it all belongs to Shiv Baba. It doesn't belong to any human being. We also have the knowledge of how to have unlimited disinterest. So this we saw in Brahma Baba. And the children took this inspiration that instantly Baba, as he surrendered, when Shiv Baba gave him the instruction, of course through a trans messenger. Yes, through a trans messenger Baba gave the instruction, Shiv Baba, to Brahma Baba, now surrender to the Shaktis. And Brahma Baba instantly willed all his property to the Shaktis. So there cannot be any quarrels, any dispute on money matters here also. So no dispute on who will take the seat, the gaddi, the prominent seat, because Shiv Baba appoints. Secondly, no dispute on money matters. And thirdly, why organizations fail because of character problem. You know, many gurus, many sannyasis, when women come close to them, they have that physical attraction, and then, you know, we know of many instances in India at least, so and so sannyasi eloped with a woman and ran away. He ran away with a woman, that one ran away with a woman, and the whole organization dwindled, it just fell off, toppled down because the head fell in love with a woman and that was it. So, character problem. Here, it can never happen like that because the dadis, they are such great examples in front of us. So, this is why we say that this is a wonderful organization. Also, when Shiv Baba started this work, it started off with three revolutionary acts. Three revolutionary acts at that time. The first was the sisters in the front, which was something very different from what was normal in the society. Because women were always under veils, they were always left indoors, they were not allowed to come in the society, no social activities for women. Men had all the privileges, but women had none. They were always like suppressed, you know, no other things of the society. They couldn't just open up their specialities or their talents, nothing. They were not even allowed to be educated. That was a time when Shiv Baba came. In India at least it was like that. But as Shiv Baba came and started his work, the first thing was he put the sisters in the front. And the second was visions. The revolutionary part of it was that everyone got visions of Brahma Baba, Shiv Baba, Krishna. And it became such a great revolution at that time, which Brahma Baba also did not understand what was it all about. And the third revolutionary act was that Shiv Baba told through Brahma Baba that you have to lead a pure life. No saints and sannyasis or gurus, you know, will ever tell like this directly to their disciples. They're afraid that if they tell them that the disciples will run away. Because they don't want purity like that. But then Baba said it right from the beginning, day one, that children, you have to lead a pure life. A holy and yogi life. And those children who understood this, they promised in front of Baba. And that's how this gathering was started. But then Baba says, at that time, whatever Shiv Baba instructed was different compared to what Baba tells now. Because at that time a bhatti, you know, like was to be created, a big gathering was to be created, which would stay in solitude, for 14 years. So Shiv Baba had those plans. And therefore they just left everything. They didn't care for their wealth, for their family, for their relatives, you know, for anything. They just ran and surrendered themselves to Baba. But then Baba says, this type of Srimat Baba will not give now. Though at that time also Baba did not say straight away that leave everything and come and live with Baba. But then why they came? Because Baba instructed them to lead a pure life. And Brahma Baba himself was an example. But then they had problems with their family members. And therefore they didn't care for anyone because they just followed what Shiv Baba told them. So many people would come and tell Brahma Baba that, Baba, okay, you are leading a pure life, a celibate life, fine, because you are old, you are over 60 years, you have your family, your children, your grandchildren, and it's okay to renounce because you are quite old. But why do you tell these young ladies, they are hardly 20 and 15, some are not even married, and also the married women, why do you tell them? Let them become your age. Let them become 60 years and then you can advise them. Then Brahma Baba used to say, sorry, it's not me who's telling them. I don't tell them. Who am I to tell them? It is that Supreme Father. He is telling through this one. And he told me too. So the day Shiv Baba told me, instantly, I started leading a pure life. I didn't know beforehand that I had to lead a pure life. I was a family man. And the day Shiv Baba told me, I also started leading. Now how can I tell them? I'm not telling them anyway. It is Shiv Baba telling them. I'm only an instrument, but that one comes and speaks. And he speaks to me also. So whatever instructions he gives me, that I follow instantly. And they see this one and follow, but not that I'm telling them. That one is telling everyone, even including me. Now these people didn't understand. But Brahma Baba was the first one to follow. But then Brahma Baba would say that, see, I haven't left my family. Shiv Baba never advised me to leave my family and become a recluse or a sannyasi, a hermit, and go and live in a forest. No, my family is with me. Because Baba's whole family was with Baba, no? His wife, his children, all were with Baba. He didn't leave them and go away. But they all came and surrendered to Baba, his whole family too. Because it was Shiv Baba working at that time, you know, in an incognito, which people didn't realize really. Even I don't think the Dadis really realized, because they saw in Brahma Baba Krishna. And they felt, yes, this one is God for us. They didn't know the difference between Krishna and Shiv Baba. This was understood much later. So Brahma Baba became like a source of inspiration for everyone. Shiv Baba was incognito at that time. And Brahma Baba didn't have anyone to follow. But then whatever he heard, he brought it into practice instantly. And we could see the qualities of Brahma Baba. Though they looked so opposite, but there was a wonderful balance in Brahma Baba. A child and a master. With the children he would become like a child. With the elderly ones he would become like an elderly person. And he would say, I'm a child and a master, because a child, whatever Shiv Baba tells me, I follow instantly. I don't think twice. I don't think, oh, whether this what Baba has said is right or wrong. Yes, Baba, instantly, like a child. And as a master, I have to make the complete efforts myself. So child and master, like Baba teaches us, where you have to make efforts, become like a master. You have to become a master and make the efforts. Master means an authority. And as a child, become a child in a gathering. Okay, whatever everyone accepts, whatever Shiv Baba said, okay. No dictatorship, yes, you have to do it now. But as a child, whatever is accepted by all. Yes, Shiv Baba is the almighty authority, he gives the final decision. But again, he puts the children in the front. So it's all a mutual acceptance, you know, by all. And therefore it's given respect to whatever Shiv Baba gives as a final decision. This is meant for the good of all. So Brahma Baba became a source of inspiration in the corporeal form for everyone. And the result was that whatever Baba uttered from his lips, they became like golden words. It was really wonderful to feel that how those 14 years when they lived in the yajna, like yesterday, day before yesterday, was it? When was day before yesterday, the cultural program, they showed the Japanese sisters. They didn't want to leave the yajna. They didn't want to go on service. They never even thought that they would ever go on service outside, leave Baba and Mama and go anywhere. Many of them had this thought that we will be with Baba and Mama till the end of the cycle. And we'll all go up together and Baba and Mama will be with us till the end. Because Baba used to say that those sannyasis, you know, when they die, they cannot give salvation to their followers because they have to again be born and, you know, in a household, and then afterwards when they grow up, they renounce. But Shiv Baba will not leave you in the lurch like that. He will take you back home. So when Baba would say this, everyone felt that yes, we will be together all the time till the end of the cycle. Baba, Mama won't leave the body. We will remain together and all of us will ultimately go together. This was the thought at the beginning. And when Mama left her body in 1965, on 24th of June 1965, for some it was a great shock. I mean, because they felt that, well, now we'll be together all the time. So Mama was the first one to leave the body, but then how Bap Dada, through trans messengers, revealed, opened the secret that an advance party has to be established, which will become instrumental for giving birth to deity souls. Because pure souls are needed for the deities to be born in this world. Yogi souls are needed for the deities to be born in this world. Their parents have to be great yogis. So, Mama will be the leader. She will be the source of inspiration for the advance party. So a new secret was revealed. In the yajna too, the secret of the subtle regions was revealed. It was not known beforehand. It was not known. Before, at the beginning, when the yajna started, the visions which the sisters and brothers had were Shiv Baba's vision, Baba's light, or Vishnu, a golden age, Paramdham, destruction. And through Brahma Baba they would see Krishna. And through Mama they would see Radhe, you know. Get vision of Radhe through Mama and vision of Krishna through Baba. Or Lakshmi and Narayan. But they never got the vision of subtle regions. But Gulzar Dadi was the first soul to get a vision of the subtle regions. She was the first soul to get a vision of complete Brahma Baba, angelic Brahma Baba in the subtle regions. And she is the one who revealed to Brahma Baba in the corporeal form that you have an angelic form in the subtle regions and that angelic form is invoking you and you have to reach that stage of being an angel. Then the subtle regions was revealed, and then everyone came to know that they have to reach that angelic form in the subtle regions. Otherwise, you know, it's very interesting, in the world people remember angels. But how were angels created? From where did they come? How were they born? You know, from where did they come and all that? People don't know, they don't know anything. But now we know what are angels. It will be our final stage. Angels will not just appear from nowhere. They won't just, you know, fall from the skies. But we will reach that angelic stage. And we will give visions to the many devotee souls who will be crying for peace, and they'll get visions of angels. But that will be our final stage. So Brahma Baba was revealed by Gulzar Dadi, the experience which she had of subtle regions. And she told Baba, "Baba, your complete form, I experienced the subtle regions." And that form told me that Brahma Baba, who's in the physical world, will become this. And tell him that he has to make efforts likewise now to become this one. And that she revealed to Brahma Baba, and after that, really Brahma Baba had that great desire. I want to attain perfection. I want to attain perfection. I want to become angelic. Because Baba had this sanskar of whatever he wanted to do, it was do it now. You know? Many of us have this sanskar of procrastinating, you know, postponing for the future. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Okay, I'll do it day after tomorrow. But Brahma Baba's special quality was, if something was to be done, important, very necessary, yes, do it now. And this is why he became the first angel, the first angel. Mama did not reach that stage because she had a different role to play. But Baba's role was different. So when Baba became obvious, then this role was understood, that now he has a different role to play. Mama took rebirth in the advanced party, as we know. So when Dadi Gulzar revealed to Baba that his perfect form was in the subtle regions, instantly he went for those efforts. And we could see, I have my experience, I met Brahma Baba, I can say I have the privilege of being with Baba, sitting in Baba's lap, taking blessings from Baba in the sakar form. I came to Baba when I was 11 years old. That was in the year 1959, November, December, 59. And the moment I saw Brahma Baba, I felt that this one was my real father. I felt it instantly. Baba's unlimited vision, which made everyone feel that he was the father. Well, it's different from our vision, naturally. Because for Brahma Baba, each one was a child. It's interesting how Baba used to tell even his Laukik wife, child. Bachchi, Yashoda, child. For everyone, Baba was a child. Baba told everyone as a child, even his wife. And leave aside children, of course, Laukik children. But his wife too. Of course, she was no longer wife in that way at that time. She was Baba's child because Brahma Baba became the great-great-great-grandfather. Not just human beings, but even animals and birds. Baba would say, give this to the child, you know. And that sister would wonder, which child? The bird. If a monkey would come, Baba would say, give this to the child. give to the monkey. So, and the sister will wonder, which child? Yes, but that monkey is a child. The child has come, give him something. Every day a small nightingale, a tiny little nightingale, you know, would come in front of Baba. And Baba would feed that one. And one day she did not come, Baba asked, why the child hasn't come today? And the sister would wonder, which child has not come today? The nightingale, that bird, the sparrow or whoever hasn't come today. So for Brahma Baba, all were children, just as for Shiv Baba, all are children. His attitude changed completely, instantly. His vision changed completely. He didn't have to make efforts, I can understand. Though Baba sometimes tells in the Murlis that Brahma Baba also has to make efforts to remember Shiv Baba. I sit to eat food and I say I will remember Shiv Baba all the time, then I forget. Sometimes Brahma Baba says. Sometimes Baba said, this one is the engine and you are all the carriages. So when a storm comes, the engine is affected first, the carriages later. But we can understand that I'm sure Brahma Baba would not have been attacked by a storm of Maya, you know, as children are attacked or affected. But then Baba used to say that in order to console the children. The children, doesn't matter if Maya comes. Even this one is sometimes attacked, you know. So don't worry. You're all effort makers. Even this one is an effort maker. But let me tell you how Brahma Baba instantly transformed himself. His vision changed instantly. The limits finished instantly in him. Not once he thought, well, Shiv Baba is telling me to surrender. What will happen of my family? What will my children say? What will they? Won't they need money? Won't they need this? Won't they need that? He had no second thoughts. But Shiv Baba said, and he did instantly. Shiv Baba said, you have to lead a pure life instantly. Shiv Baba said, see everyone as a soul, and he did instantly. So we take such inspirations. You know, this is such a wonderful example of Brahma Baba, which no one else has done in the whole world. There's a very, very interesting book of Mahatma Gandhi, Gandhiji's autobiography. And in his autobiography, he has written that he took inspirations from so many different saints and sages and great men. And he also took a lot of inspiration from Vivekananda, you know, many great people. And he wanted to lead a celibate life, a pure life. But he felt that he was weak in that. He could not lead a celibate life. Whenever he would see his wife, he would be attracted towards her. And this feeling of lust would come. It was difficult for him to lead a celibate life. But then he took the inspiration for leading a celibate life from Swami Ramakrishna Paramhans, the guru of Swami Vivekananda. You know, Swami Ramakrishna Paramhans was a great sage. And he was a devotee of the mother, Kali. He saw every woman as a mother. Every woman as a mother. To each woman who would come in front of him, he would say, mother, ma, to everyone. And therefore, what happened was when he was, you know, during those days, early days in India, in a family, supposing in one family, one lady would be pregnant, in the other family, then also another lady would be pregnant, then they would compromise like that. If a boy is born in your house and a girl in my house, okay, we will do this marriage so that we families can come together. So when he was born, his parents and another girl's parents, they decided that girl or boy and boy, then we will get them married. So right at the time of birth, their parents had decided that we will marry these children, you know, to them, to one another. And now this man became a sage. He said, I don't have any woman of my own. For me, all are mothers. So even if he lived with his wife, Sharda Ma, but he always called her Ma. He called her mother to his wife. She was like a mother for him. Because every woman was a mother, so she was not a different mother. She was not his wife, but a mother. So Mahatma Gandhi took inspiration from Swami Ramakrishna Paramhans, and he said, well, now I know the secret. If I want to lead a pure life, I have to see my wife as my mother. And then he started calling her Ma, Ba, Kasturba. In Gujarati they say Ba to mother. In Hindi we say Ma to mother, in Gujarati they say Ba to mother. So Ba, Kasturba. And then he writes in his autobiography that the day I saw her as my mother, my vision changed. I could feel the purity in me when I would see her because I saw her as my mother. And then I could lead a celibate life. From the day I changed my vision. But for Brahma Baba it was different. The moment Shiv Baba told him you have to lead a celibate life and you are the father of humanity and everyone is your child, so the wife is also the child. So for Brahma Baba, I don't think it was difficult to create that vision because he followed instantly what Shiv Baba told him. But I don't know how easy or difficult it must have been for his wife to accept him as the father, to accept the husband as the father. The same thing happened with Mama. Mama's mother and Mama came together in the yajna. And Mama became Mama for all. Even Baba used to call her Mama. Though she was so young, only 16 and Baba was 60. But Baba used to say Mama, so everybody called her Mama. Whatever Baba called her as, so everybody called the same. But not just the everybody, but even Mama's mother called her daughter Mother. You can understand. So the change of vision instantly. I don't know how easy it must have been for Mama's mother to accept the daughter as the mother. But I'm sure for Mama it was not at all difficult because she too felt that yes, she was the mother. But then she always accepted herself as the child of Baba. Always as a child. Like a small child. You know, she was not only so obedient to Baba, but then not just that, but also so much respect she had for Baba. It was amazing. Because Baba would tell Mama, okay, you go and speak the murli before Baba comes. And Mama would come to the class in the history hall and speak before Baba came. And the moment Baba would come, not one word would she utter from her lips after Baba came. Even if she was speaking and the sentence was incomplete, she would just stop, incomplete sentence, not say a word when Baba would come. So Baba was very sweet. You know what he used to do? When he would come, he would, because Baba would tell Mama, Mama, finish, speak. Mama would say, no, no. Yeah? Not a word. Because that was respect for Baba. How can she speak when Baba has come? So Baba was very sweet. What he used to do? In a history hall, when he would come and he would hear, of course, Mama speaking, he would never go to the hall. He would just, not even peep, but stand near the wall and listen to what Mama is saying. You know, what she's speaking. And so Mama wouldn't know that Baba is listening. But the moment Baba would go, she would stop, so she would never speak. And therefore Baba wanted Mama to hear, wanted Mama to speak so that he could hear what Mama was speaking. But for that he would just stand stealthily and listen to Mama what she was speaking. So much respect Baba had for Mama and Mama had for Baba. And they were the spiritual parents for the family. But their vision for one another was so pure, so pure. She would say, I'm the child. And of course, Brahma Baba's vision was unlimited. For Brahma Baba, everyone was a child. But Baba would call her Mama, so that everyone called her Mama. So that was the beautiful respect in the family and for one another, for the elder ones also. So we saw in Brahma Baba that greatness. One moment, Baba is just like us, but the next moment, so powerful, such powerful drishti, which Baba would give, you know, we could feel, yes, now Shiva Baba is in the body of Brahma Baba. We could feel the eyes like bulbs shining, and so much shine, sparkle on the forehead too, we could feel the difference. But then, the children followed Brahma Baba. Baba would become bodiless in a second. Because all the time he had that feeling that I have to reveal Shiv Baba through me. Not that he made any efforts for that, but it was so natural, it could be felt in a natural way that he is so much in love with Shiv Baba. His vision has only Shiv Baba in him. You know, he sees the children, but in the eyes of the children he has that love that they too are Shiv Baba's children. Of course, my children. So unlimited feeling was there. And we could feel that unlimited feeling from Brahma Baba. And we took that source of inspiration. So we have to see the Father, Shiv Baba, and follow the Father, Brahma Baba. In each Avyakta Murli also, Bap Dada mentions at least one or two specialities of Brahma Baba. So, you know, we can take out these specialities. The other day, Dr. Nirmala, she read to you a list which she has of specialities of Brahma Baba. You know, she gave 25 points. Were you there when she read this? Who was there at that time in the class? Yeah? So, she read it. We can put it out on the notice board outside Global Office, and you can read that if you like, and well, we can see if anybody wants. But then, this is a very lovely list which she has prepared of the wonderful qualities of Brahma Baba, which Brahma Baba had deep rooted in him, because his vision changed, his attitude changed. He was just like us, an ordinary person, a family man, a businessman, though of course a religious man, but the first human to become an angel. And still now, inspiring us to become an angel like him. So we follow Brahma Baba, the angel, in order to become like him, but for that we take the strength from Shiv Baba, who is a point of light. Of course, all relationships are with Shiv Baba, but those relationships cannot be experienced had Brahma Baba not been there, because he was in the corporeal form. So we see Brahma Baba, but we remember Shiv Baba. This is the beautiful combined form, Avyakt Bap Dada. And we too have that aim that one day, yes, we will attain perfection and reach our angelic stage and become like our angelic father, Brahma Baba. So that's what we have to aim for. Being in the body, yet going beyond as Brahma Baba did. So any action we do, we have in front of us Brahma Baba. And we have to think at that time, this action, okay, if I go to do it, would Brahma Baba also do it? If Brahma Baba would not have done it, I too should not do it, because I have to follow Brahma Baba. These words which I am speaking, would Brahma Baba ever speak such words? If Brahma Baba would not speak such words, I also shouldn't speak. This thought which I am creating, would Brahma Baba create such thoughts? Would he have such thoughts? No. Okay, then I too should not create such thoughts. So thoughts, words, actions, body, mind, wealth, whatever Brahma Baba did, I have to follow the Father. The wealth which I have belongs to Baba. I cannot misuse this wealth too. I cannot use it for a wrong cause. I cannot use it for something in which there is no service. It's only meant for God's task. And I too belong to God. Just as Brahma Baba called himself an instrument, I am an instrument too. So let this feeling come in us all the time. And then we can become like Brahma Baba and attain that angelic stage as Brahma Baba attained. But of course, the remembrances of Shiv Baba, a point of light. In my vision, I have Shiv Baba, point of light, point in form and endless in his virtues. And that source of all virtues is in front of me. And I am taking in those qualities, becoming powerful with those qualities as Brahma Baba took from Shiv Baba. So as Brahma Baba did, I do the same. But the source of all those qualities is Shiv Baba. Brahma Baba also took from Shiv Baba. So inspiration from Brahma Baba, but remembering Shiv Baba. You know, many people say, okay, if you remember Shiv Baba, why do you have Brahma Baba's picture here? We say that Brahma Baba's picture is here to inspire us. That just as he is remembering Shiv Baba, we too also have to remember Shiv Baba. Not that we remember him and he remembers Shiv Baba. He's the instrument, he's the medium, no doubt. But that medium, it doesn't say that remember that one through me. You can have direct relationship. But of course, the source of inspiration for us is Brahma Baba, who remembered Shiv Baba and became an angel. And who remembered his own angelic form too and became an angel. So I too remember my angelic form. I too can remember Brahma Baba's angelic form and reach my angelic stage by taking all the powers from Shiv Baba. So this is a beautiful way of remembering Bap Dada, seeing the Father and following the Father. Okay? Om Shanti. Now let us sit in that remembrance, keeping in mind that we have two fathers, the spiritual father and the divine father. The spiritual father is Shiv Baba, the divine father is Brahma Baba. Both the fathers are a source of inspiration for me. But Shiv Baba is incorporeal. He worked through the corporeal form of Brahma Baba. So I too am in my corporeal form. And I have to follow the corporeal father who became angelic, and therefore I too have to become angelic like my divine father. And now let us sit with that consciousness that I have to remember the spiritual father and I have to follow the Divine Father. So I can visualize both the Fathers in front of me and how my Divine Father became angelic by seeing his complete angelic form as well as seeing the Father, the spiritual Father. Who is only a point in divine form. I visualize that point of divine light. Who is a point in form, but endless, fathomless, infinite, unlimited, in all his qualities. An ocean in a dot. With whom I have all relations. I as a soul, who has all relations with one supreme being. My Supreme Mother and Father, teacher and friend, Satguru and guide, beloved and husband of husbands. The ever truth, benefactor, and the beautiful. The supreme light. Shiv Baba. Whom Brahma Baba remembered and attained perfection. I too also have to do the same. The worthy child of both the fathers. I have to become angelic like Brahma Baba. and become full and complete like Shiv Baba. I'm so fortunate to have the highest on high fathers to guide me. My true sources of inspiration I can never be separated from them. They will always be my guiding forces. Beloved Bap Dada, you are guiding me to become like you. I promise you, Baba, I will only see you. I will follow only you. And become like you. I can visualize my perfect form of an angel. Giving visions to many thirsty souls. Showering blessings upon them. Like Bap Dada, who are always bestowers beloved Bap Dada, I'm only an instrument.
every thought, word and action. I create according to your inspiration. Every step I take will be only to reveal you. I can feel the hand of blessing above my head of the two fathers. I'm such a blessed soul. Such a fortunate soul. Thank you, Baba, for all that you have given me. In your company, I find so much comfort and solace. I am yours, and I will always be yours. You are my only one. I absorb myself in the ocean of love of the two fathers.